Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze, and this is the Call to Obedience radio ministry. We're excited about our study of the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter today. So stay with me and pray that you may get all that God wants you to get. We're going to go back into the story of Jesus and Lazarus. The background is that when Jesus was in Galilee, in the north of Israel, certain messengers came and told him that they were sent there, sent to Jesus by Mary and Martha, to inform the Lord Jesus that their brother Lazarus was sick. And then Jesus said, "Unto these messengers, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." Then Jesus remained yet two more days in Galilee, and then he went down to Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were living. And that took two more days of travel. So from the time that Jesus heard of Lazarus' sickness until he got to his house, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. Now we see Jesus arriving at this house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And this is a conversation I want to bring to your attention today from John chapter 11, beginning with verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and her, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, and the sister of him that was dead, says unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus says unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Well, then Jesus tells the men to roll away the stone, and then he calls Lazarus by name. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of this cave, bound hand and foot. Now, let me give you my little sermon for today from this text. I believe that if any one man deserves a trophy for picking out the greatest, the biggest miracles of Jesus, John the Apostle would win hands down. There are, in a sense, big miracles and small miracles. I would consider the miracles that we see today by faith healers and by others who have faith small miracles. Yes, they are great small miracles, if you know what I mean, like the healing from cancer, like the deliverance from pain, like someone who's had a stiff joint suddenly receiving mobility again, like the disappearance of kidney and gallbladder stones, or the miracle of restoration of speech, sound, or sight. We see these miracles repeated over and over again, and we are grateful for these miracles. And someday, you or I may need one of those miracles. And I tell you, when it happens to us, my friend, we will call that a great miracle. Yes, we have a wonderful God. But as there are miracles of God we see repeated frequently, such as the ones I mentioned, there are miracles of God which we seldom or never see repeated. And John has a tendency to give us those miracles that are seldom or never repeated. There are 7 miracles that Jesus did recorded in this Gospel of John, and most of them are miracles we don't see repeated, like the changing of water into wine. How often have you seen a hostess run out of coffee or out of juice, and then somehow through prayer and faith she has someone bring a bucket of water, and in the process of this water being brought and being poured out, it turns into coffee or into juice? Miracles of that type are rare or unheard of. Another miracle that John records is a miracle of walking on water, of Jesus and also Peter walking on water. I have not seen that repeated by anyone in my lifetime. Another one is a miracle of multiplication when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he multiplied this little lunch to feed well over 20,000 people, men, women, and children. Or you take the miracle here of Jesus raising a man who had been buried in a cave for 4 days and he was brought forth out of that place of death. I've never seen a preacher yet who has gone to the cemetery and who would call or did call the name of some deceased person who's been in that place for several days, 6 feet in the ground, and had the person come forth in their grave clothes. It seems to me that no one out of all the writers of the New Testament calls on us to stretch our faith more than the Apostle John. So this Gospel of John is not only the Gospel of light, as I mentioned earlier, because of 24 references to light in this Gospel, but this is also the Gospel of faith. And it is obvious from the very first chapter of this Gospel of John that John's Gospel is a Gospel of faith. John challenges us more than anyone else to believe in this great and wonderful Savior. Already in the first chapter, John says this of Jesus, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Then John continues to say, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The challenge of faith is right there in the first few lines of the Gospel of John, for all to believe. According to John, the first thing he wants us to believe is who Jesus is. And that is brought out in the first few verses of his Gospel, where he says that Jesus is God. Jesus is equal with God. Jesus is equal with God in every way. And thirdly, he wants us to believe that Jesus is the creator of all things, because he wants us to believe that if we receive Jesus, we become sons of God. He creates us to become sons of God. Marvelous, 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 I say. Can you believe all that? Well, if you don't, you won't have the experience of becoming a son of God. So, dear ones, John starts very, very high, higher than anyone else in all the writings of the New Testament and in the Old, in the glorification and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, believe Jesus is God, equal with God, the creator of the universe. Believe that you, that is born of God, are the sons of God and are the daughters of God. Hallelujah. When Matthew ends his first chapter, Jesus, and he only just been advertised, by the time you get to the end of the first chapter of Luke, Jesus is not as yet on the way. By the time you get to Mark, the end of that first chapter of Mark, at least you have Jesus baptized and preaching, but my friend, in the first 3 verses that you are in John, you have Jesus equal with God, creator of the universe, and then in a few verses down, you have God's people to be sons of God, born of God. Oh, yes, this is a book where we're called to stretch our faith, to take this all in. Glory to God. John skips the baby stage of Jesus, the childhood stage, and the baptism of our Lord, and he immediately connects Jesus with Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created." Yes, John gets into the big things right away, the big things of faith, and he gives us these extraordinary miracles. Another way to prove to you that John, more than any other, is the Gospel of faith is as we look to the word believe. There are 7 references to the word believe in Matthew, 5 in Luke, 11 in Mark, but 52 references to the word belief in the Gospel of John alone. The Apostle John stretches our faith from the beginning to the end of the Gospel like no one else does. So then in the beginning of the Gospel, we're told how great God is, how great Jesus is, and how much we need him in his greatness so we can face what's ahead. But then at the end of John's Gospel, we are to believe how much God needs us. We are to believe how much God needs ministers. My friend, God needs ministers much more than you ever thought. John begins with the exaltation of Jesus in the first few verses of his gospel. He ends his whole book by giving ministers a very, very high place in his work. Because the last chapter is that chapter where Jesus says to Peter two times, "Feed my sheep, and once feed my lambs." Oh, my friend, why didn't Jesus say, "I will feed my sheep"? No, he says to Peter, "You feed my sheep." Jesus needs ministers to feed his sheep. So all of these little groups that are meeting all over the world, discontented groups without a shepherd, they meet at their convenience and to have a little sharing time and a little Bible study and a little prayer time, my friends, are surely not getting all that God wants them to get, because they really belong to some shepherd somewhere through whom God wants to feed them. They belong to a shepherd somewhere, someplace, that will keep them out of the weeds and poisons of bad attitudes that they are chewing on without them even being aware of them, that these things are really bad for their spiritual health. John, at the beginning of his gospel, says, "Believe all I tell you about Jesus." And then at the end of his book, he says, "Believe that the shepherds are there to feed you and to help you and to protect you and to cause you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe all that too." So we're called to stretch our faith in the beginning of the Gospel of John, at the end of the Gospel of John, and in the middle of the Gospel of John, where Jesus is here found raising a man from the dead, a man who had been in decomposition for 4 days. Our text says that when Jesus told these servants to roll away the stone, that Martha said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." "Lord, Lord, it's too late. But if you would have been here early enough, you could have prevented this man from dying. You could have healed him from that sickness. But now he's beyond sickness. He's beyond healing. He's dead, and it's over with." All the people, Mary and Martha and all the disciples around them, every one of them could not believe that Jesus was able to raise this man from the dead after he had been in that cave for 4 days. They believed that he could change water into wine, that he could walk on water. They believed in his ability to multiply loaves and fishes, and that he could heal a man born blind. Their faith had grown, but these disciples had reached a wall. It is called the wall of unbelief, for more big things to be done. Yes, the attitude was that Jesus could do all that, but he cannot do this. There's a wall there. We cannot get over. We cannot get around. We cannot get under. Even though Jesus told each of that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, they would not and could not believe once he was embalmed and buried. I believe this is the reason that when Jesus got to the house of Mary, that he wept. It is because he had a heart full of compassion and empathy, but he also groaned. And I believe the groaning that is repeated twice is because he felt so alone, and his faith for the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. So alone, because the closest ones to him, the inner circle people, could not, would not believe with him in this great miracle he was about to do. No wonder he chided his inner circle at various occasions by saying to them, "Oh, ye of little faith," or, "May I be able to, by the grace of God, continue to teach you not to sit on your faith, but to break through the walls of unbelief one after the other. They are in front of you that you might see the glory of God over and over again." Well, we'll continue next week with this message on believing beyond the boundaries of ordinary faith. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until then. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.